Pow. Bam. Words of power, right? Power that comes from some of our favorite superheroes, comic books, those of us who are old enough to remember comic books, and from Batman movies, that for those of us who are younger, flashes of power that break in to things. And in fact, in the New Testament, the Greek word is there in our readings for today. The word for power is dunamis, and that is the root word for dynamite, and it's the word dynamic. You know, the dynamite, like the fireworks last night that scared one of our dogs, and, you know, it's that kind of power that breaks loose. And there's all sorts of kinds of power in the world. And here in Houston, we understand the importance of power, energy power, and its importance with the economy. But also, there's hydroelectric power, right? There is muscle power, athletic power, ability to move our bodies around, you know. And then there's this thing called people power. Those of you from earlier on, you know, you heard the song, Power to the People, right? And there is power in the people to do collective action. You saw it in the Woodlands here in that most recent vote on the road issue. That was the result, however you voted, however you stood on the issue, as the result of collective action that got people to the polls, you know? And it happened in other places, and it happened in Ireland this last week. Collective action got people to show up to vote and to make a difference in how they saw things. Power to the people. And then there's the power of words. You know, the power of words. We're going to have one of our series this summer is going to talk about the power of words, the words we speak. And they change things. They have the power to motivate people to action for good or for ill. Thomas Paine's Common Sense, that little booklet, just set people afire before the revolution in this country. And the words of someone like Lincoln back at Gettysburg, where the Memorial Day was first started, in grieving the loss of the loved ones and honoring those who died, both in the North and the South, by the way. The words of healing have that kind of power, too. Then there's this power we're talking about this Pentecost, spirit power, which is really the power behind all powers if you read the book of Genesis, Genesis 1. But it especially becomes apparent in this Pentecost event 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Prior to that event, you know, 50 days, the resurrection of Jesus had happened. And you know, Jesus showed up many times with his disciples, and he was saying stuff to them like, you know how to run a ministry now. You know how to do this stuff. You know how to preach. I've taught you how to heal. I've taught you how to guide people. I've taught you how to stand for justice and get rocks thrown at you as a result. You know how to do this ministry, guys. But you're missing one thing. You're missing the power to do it. So he says, hang together after I've left you until you're clothed with power from on high. And what happens? What do? They go back into Jerusalem and they go to that upper room. And what do? They pray and they praise. Look at this. This is what they were doing for those days. Praising God and praying. And this is the Hebrew posture for prayer. So I'm sure they were doing this kind of thing, like they have their hands open. Because why? This is the posture for being open to God, isn't it? Instead of like this, like we are so many times. Like this, open to God. That's how they were for those 40, 50 days, waiting for God's power to come. Now, they weren't sure what that power was going to do to them or for them or through them. They had no concept of what was going to happen, but they were just willing to be open to God's energy, the Spirit energy. And when they did, here's what it looked like. That power of God just filled them. They were fired up. And however you wanted to look at this, tongues of fire on their heads, they were able to do things they could have never imagined. Like speaking to all those visitors in Jerusalem from all those different cultures, each in their own language, so that they could understand. God could speak to them in a way that made sense to them. And you know what they talked about, those disciples? They talked about God's deeds of mighty power. That's what they're talking about. The power of God in raising Jesus from the dead. And other amazing things happen. It says, like the prophet Joel, you know, we heard a few weeks ago, the cynical millennials. Well, there were cynical millennials who were having visions and of possibility. And old men who were mostly concerned about their prostates were having dreams of openness of life and things that could change. Dreams of a future, of God's power breaking loose. In fact, that day, it says to us in the readings, after Peter's sermon about Jesus Christ, 3,000 people came to believe in Jesus. Incredible day. Because the disciples, see, came to understand something that these days we need to understand. That any power that they had or that we have comes from the Spirit of God, not from ourselves. They came to understand what Martin Luther said in the third article of the Apostles' Creed, the meaning of that. He said this, "I believe that I cannot by my own understanding or effort even believe in Jesus, much less come to him. But what? The Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, the same way he calls and gathers the whole Christian church on earth and keeps you united in Christ." And alcoholics, drug addicts, and people of other addictions and their family members have to come to this understanding that the disciples came to. This openness to the Spirit of God. There's some words that are taught to people in Al-Anon, for instance. I didn't cause it, this disease, this dreaded disease of alcoholism. I can't control it, because you think you can. Until you get some sanity about this, and I can't cure it. I didn't cause it, I can't control it, I can't cure it. The three C's. And the first three steps of any 12-step program start with this. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Our lives, as a result of trying to control our drinking or somebody else's drinking on our own, you know, by white-knuckling it through, they caused us to get our lives out of control. And so then just an openness is what's next. It says the only hope for us from this dreaded disease was coming to believe that, guess what, a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. A power greater than ourselves. And then having gotten ourselves out of resistance to this power, we finally had to turn our will and our lives over to the care of this God. Now that's kind of humbling, isn't it? It's contrary to how we like to see our lives. To say, I can't do it. I'm powerless. But it's what brings freedom and unimaginable activities that come out of this bam, boom, of being open to God's power. And all the way through those 12 steps, the same thing keeps coming back. And this comes from the Christian tradition, by the way, the 12 steps. There's this acknowledgement that we cannot do this on our own. And it doesn't say, now, in the next, there's a step called step 6 that says, became entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. It doesn't even say, now I have to whip myself together. Even for that, I depend on God. And the next step is interesting, step 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Humbly. Even that I can't do without God's help. And here's a little thing about that openness to God and what happens. This is from a little book called Courage to Change. It's for people who go to Al-Anon meetings. When I take the 7th step, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings, I calmly ask for help. Like this, see? I don't beg or demand, I neither grovel nor puff myself up. I know I needn't demean myself, I have no one to impress. I'm simply accepting my place in relationship with my higher power, no more, no less. True humility should never be humiliating. Instead, I feel honored to take my rightful place in the wonderful partnership I'm developing with the God of my understanding. And this is an interesting last phrase. Humility is said to be perpetual quietness of heart. It means I do my part and trust God to take care of the rest. well. That's what the disciples arrived at that day, that Pentecost day. A humble openness to God's power, not their own. And out of that led incredible deeds of power done in Jesus' name, huh? That spread throughout the earth, and it's still spreading. I'm so impressed with the guys at our men's Bible study on Saturday mornings. They are just, you know, talk about the Spirit in there, in a group of people. We were studying this passage of Acts yesterday morning, and somebody said, you know, I'm really frustrated. I don't feel like I can get that Holy Spirit power like I see other people have. I just don't get it. I just don't seem to get it. I'm frustrated with that. And somebody else looked at him and said, you know what? I see fire on your head. You can't see it for yourself, see? You can't see it for yourself. Somebody else has to see your fire. He says, I see it in the way you raise your kids. I see it in the way you conduct your business. I see it in the way you struggle with this Bible passage. I see fire in you. We just can't do it by ourselves, can we? We need each other to encourage us. We can't do it alone. When the Spirit comes, the disciples gathered, praying, singing, and support each other. That's how they helped each other, to be open to the Spirit's power. Not by their own understanding or effort, but by the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit power. Somebody else yesterday morning, who's fairly new at Lord of Life, says, I can see the fire of the Spirit in this congregation. He says, I see it in how you enjoy each other. I see it in how you welcome people. I see it in how you give of yourselves. So many people are involved in serving around here, and that's absolutely the truth. But we can't do this by ourselves. But we can help open one another up to this incredible power of God's Spirit that is at work. It's always here. It's always available. We can't make it happen. But we can open ourselves up with the help of our partners to God's power. And bam, pow, things happen.